Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of JTalk Extra Time. I'm John Steele. The next voice you'll hear is Stuart Smith. Hello, Stu. How are you?
Very good. Thank you, John. Very good. How are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. Thanks. Can sort of see the light at the end of the J League tunnel, but we still have a few busy weeks ahead, don't we, before this season draws to a close. With that in mind, I think we better get straight into it, Stu. For this week's first period of extra time, we're going to focus on J3. That's with the fact that there's a full midweek round of games coming up on Wednesday taken into consideration. So we want to get a weekend wrap-up recorded and out for people to listen to before the Wednesday games. So it was round 27 over the weekend that's just gone. We'd better start by talking about Blaublitz Akita. Stu, they're on the verge of J3 title glory, aren't they? This is after beating Gifu 1-0 at home on Saturday. Han Hogang scored the winner on the half volley midway through the second half. I thought there might have been a foul by Naoyuki Yamada, the Akita player in the build-up. We can perhaps talk about that in a moment. Now, this means that Akita are going to seal promotion to J2 if they win their away game at Gamba Osaka's under-23 side on Wednesday night. So it's definitely a matter of when rather than if Akita will clinch promotion, Stu. But I know you watched this game in full. So, what did you make of proceedings at the Soyuz Stadium on Saturday?
Yeah, well, pretty much standard Akita fare, really. They defended very, very well. They were very organised. Yudai Tanaka played really well in goal. Gifu actually didn't play that badly. In fact, I've seen them play much worse and not lose. They had a couple of chances in the... Well, they had one chance in the first half, and Kawanishi had a good chance in the second half that Tanaka saved. I think after that, Akita kind of showed their mettle, really. Yeah, you say there was... They looked like there might have been a foul. I think I would put it down to... a stronger team willing to fight for the ball a little bit more. I think that I could see a scenario where those fouls are given, or well, where those decisions are given, but I don't think they were fouls. I think they were just bigger players out-muscling smaller players, to be quite frank. And Han Hogan, he's a defender, but he didn't blink twice when he smashed that one into the back of the net, did he? And he's... I've seen him score a penalty as well this year, so he's kind of an all-round kind of Sergio Ramos-ish central defender, I think. We've spoken a lot about Akita. The stats just don't lie. I mean, 27 unbeaten, 20 clean sheets. They've only conceded 8 all year. They're going to be champions. They'll be promoted on Wednesday. Although they didn't beat Gamba or Osaka under-23s when they played them at home, so... maybe they might slip up, but it takes a brave person to bet against Akita in a single game, to be quite frank. So just more standard Akita fare. They were too good and too strong and too organized.
Yeah, I think when we've got a little bit more time in the close season, we should probably have a deep dive on Akita and talk about them a bit more. I sometimes feel like we're not giving them enough credit for what they've actually, produced this season. Well, there's just so much actual football that there isn't even any time to kind of take stock. So let's talk more about Akita once the season's actually in the books, I think. But we have clarity on Akita that they're going to be the champions. Behind them, Stu, it's an absolute car crash of teams who don't seem to want to join Akita in J2 next season. So let's talk about some of these teams that are in the kind of promotion frame. Nagano second, and now they're 3 points clear of the chasing pack. This is after winning 2-1 at Sanuki at the weekend. Nagano out of the blocks very quickly in this game, looking like they really wanted to get the job done early. They missed some good chances early on. Hiroshi Azuma hit the post. But they were in front before half-time when Tsubasa Sano tapped in. This is when Naoki Sander's header was blocked on the line. And Nagano double the lead straight after half-time through Takuma Mizutani. Sanuki did get a goal back through a pretty soft penalty with about 90 minutes left, which Kentaro Shigematsu scored. But they couldn't get back into the game. Nagano won 2-1. Kumamoto was still third, but they looked pretty poor again, this time losing 3-2 at home to Fujieda, a first win in 10 matches for Fujieda. And the visitors did give Kumamoto some warnings early on, didn't they? They had some chances to go ahead through Tsubasa Yoshihira and Tsugutoshi Oishi, but they didn't go in. Kumamoto then went in front. This is in the 33rd minute. Toshiki Takahashi was set up by Hikaru Nakahara to make it 1-0. But then, Stu, a superb brace of goals from Oishi turned the game around. A diving header at the near post before half-time and an absolutely brilliant side-on volley in the 65th minute. I know you watched some of this game, so I'll come to you on that goal in a minute. 6 minutes after Oishi's second, Takashi Akiyama headed in from a corner to make it 3-1 to Fujieda. And even though Hayato Asakawa volleyed in a second goal for Kumamoto to make it 3-2 with 8 minutes left, Kumamoto couldn't get back into the game, ended up losing 3-2. That's just one win in six now for Kumamoto, and they're losing their mojo at just the wrong time. You feel that their promotion chances looking slimmer by the week. In fourth place, we have Sagamihara, but they're on 46 points, level with Kumamoto. Sagamihara had a pretty disappointing Friday night result, didn't they? They drew 0-0 at home to Seretse Osaka's under-23 side, and they weren't really that impressive. Seretse played really well, especially in the first half, had a lot of chances. And yeah, Sagamihara didn't do much for me personally in this game. That's four straight draws for them. So when you look at Kumamoto third, one win in six, Sagamihara fourth, four draws in a row, we're starting to wonder if either of these teams is really serious about catching up with Nagano in second. What do you make of these three teams and their games from the weekend, Stu? Nagano, Kumamoto and Sagamihara.
Yeah, Nagano are in the driver's seat now. They're 3 points ahead, but their goal difference is so much better. I think it's ten goals better off than Kumamoto. So basically, they're 4 points clear at the moment. It might have been a tricky game for them, but they should have put this game well out of reach long before Kamatamari got that penalty. If I was a betting man, I'd put money on Nagano, being the second place team come the end of the year. Kumamoto just can't defend crosses. It's ridiculous. All three goals came from the side. So two crosses from the right and one from the left. I mean, Oishi's header was brilliant, but you're quite right to flag his second goal. Great finish on the turn. Fujieda's third goal, it was a header from a corner, but the player didn't jump. He was stationed more or less bang in the middle of the goal 8 yards out, and he didn't even have to jump because the marking is so chaotic from Kumamoto. They just can't defend crosses, and teams have figured that out, and they'll just keep exploiting that. And yeah, it's looking rough for Kumamoto. They still have the attacking ability to go toe-to-toe with teams, but you can't keep conceding goals at the clip that they're conceding. They shipped him for at Kagoshima. They've now conceded three at home against Fujieda. You just can't keep doing that. Sagamihara were really bad on Friday night. I think all you need to know from that is that the end of match interview was with Victor, the goalkeeper, because he was by far and away their best player. They could have easily lost that game if it wasn't for him. He produced two or three really good saves. And you're right, it's kind of a crapshoot at the minute. But I would say just Nagano have the edge right now. They're playing relatively well compared to the other teams, even if they're not blowing other teams out of the water. And I think that that goal difference, it being so much better than everyone else's right now, is going to give them a little bit of a cushion going forward, I think.
I think it's going to be exciting over the last seven rounds, but I can't disagree. I think from what I saw over the weekend and what I've seen recently, Nagano are the team that's most in form and most kind of in confidence, if you like. Kumamoto look absolutely a busted flush at this point. I think the second half of the season's been pretty horrible, pretty rotten for them. It's kind of incredible they're still third and only 3 points behind, you know, after only one win in a month or so. And Sagamihara are a weird team. They're very effective, not on Friday night, granted, but they're quite one-dimensional. I mean, the amount of long throws that they tried in that game on Friday night that just didn't work. But they just kept trying it. I mean, if Sagamihara were to finish second and get promoted, they would have a really tough time in J2 being so one-dimensional and not even that good at the one thing. So it is weird seeing them up there. I'm not a Sagamihara hater. I don't think they're a bad side, but they're certainly ordinary. So yeah, maybe it tells us something about the strength of the league overall this season. You know, we've got two teams, we've got one win between them in the last sort of, you know, 10 games, the third and fourth. But all right, Stu, we I think we're still in for some twists and turns perhaps in that race for second. There are some teams bubbling under, you know, behind Sagamihara, Kumamoto and Nagano. So we'll talk about Tottori, who are in fifth. They're 2 points further back on 44. They beat Iwate 1-0at home at the weekend. A pretty uneventful game, apart from the fact that the stadium, Yajin this time, rather than the Axis Bird Stadium, was very windy. That was noticeable in the highlights. Yo Uematsu scored the winner, bundling home from a corner. So, yeah, Tottori picked up a pretty attritional 1-0 win. And now in sixth place, Gifu and Imabari are joint sixth, aren't they? Because they're level on points and goal difference. I think Gifu are just ahead on goals scored. So Imabari and Gifu are both 1 point further back. Imabari beat YSCC 3-1 at home. Goals from Shungo Tamashiro and an absolutely brilliant free kick from Takuro Uehara. Really worth checking out on the highlights. That put Imabari 2-0 up. Takuya Miyamoto then scored a golazo of his own to give YSCC a little bit of hope. So it was 2-1 at half time. But Uehara headed in his second and Imabari's third, just after the hour, to seal a 3-1 win. For Imabari, three wins and a draw from their last four matches. I don't imagine they'll end up finishing second, but I'm starting to, you know, ponder how high they could go, because they're playing well at the moment and looking like a pretty good, pretty solid outfit. And we've talked about Gifu a little bit already, you know, with their defeat at Akita. Any comments on these games, Stu? Are these teams, Tottori, Imabari, Gifu? What are you thinking?
I quite like the look of Imabari. They look like a team that are well organized, and they know what to do with themselves, which is, it seems, a pretty simple ask, but it's not always what you get in J3. They never get blown out of the water. They never really thrash anyone either. So they're very kind of very comfortable in what they do. The free kick was outstanding as well from Uehara, and they do have a J2 license. There are some kind of asterisks next to the stadium, but they have been granted a conditional J2 license. So I mean, if they do end up in the top two, then they'll be playing in J2 next year. I think Tottori, they're doing okay at the minute, but I don't see that continuing. They're no worse than, say, Gifu or Sagamihara or Kumamoto for that matter, but I don't see them lasting the course. I think Imabari are the interesting side, to be quite frank. Mm-hmm. Gifu have got one win in their last eight, like that's just it's just not good enough. I think whichever team goes up with Akita is going to have a real tough time of it in J2 next year, but that's for next year. I think that we focus on now, and yeah, I think I like how Imabari are going about things, not just right now, but the actual club and kind of what they're doing as a piece of their community. I think it's a good place to be right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so bottom line, we think Nagano are probably going to finish second because they're 3 points clear and their goal difference is worth an extra point. And it's literally a coin toss as who could be third. We could be Kumamoto if they get their act together. Could be Imabari if they keep winning.
Mm. Well, we'll come on to the fixtures soon, but there are a couple of games where, you know, these teams are playing each other, so I think it'll be an interesting round of games on Wednesday.
Okay, we might know a bit more by 9 p.m. JST on Wednesday. Okay, let's wrap up the other games, Stu, before we disappear then from the weekend. Fukushima won 3-2 away at Toyama. Pretty exciting game, this one. Fukushima's captain, Ryosuke Tamura, put his side ahead in the first half, then hit the crossbar with a deflected shot. At the other end, Hiroki Todaka, the former Machida Zelvia man, hit the bar for Toyama. Toyama turned it round at the start of the second half, though. First of all, Hayate Take sent Shu Hiramatsu clean through to make it 1-1. And then a pretty comedic goal to put Toyama in front. Take blocked the Fukushima goalkeeper Kento Watanabe's attempted clearance and then was able to volley the ball into an empty net. A horrible moment for Watanabe, the goalkeeper. Now, I think we talked about this already, Stu. I thought that was going to be the worst goalkeeping howler of the weekend, but an even worse one occurred in the same game a few minutes later. Horrible keeping this time from Toyama's goalkeeper, Hiroki Oka. He came out thinking that he was going to, I don't know what he thought he was going to do, collect a sort of long through ball or clear it, but he didn't reckon with Ismaila's pace. Oka was caught in no man's land and ended up being an easy goal for the Nigerian forward for 2-2. And then, yeah, the final twist, a shot was deflected in off the Toyama defender Yuki Matsubara for an own goal, a Fukushima winner in the 90th minute. So, yeah, Fukushima won a pretty topsy-turvy game, 3-2 in the end. Other games, Numazu beat the fast-fading Kagoshima 3-1. Numazu were 2-0 up at half-time on goals from Ryo Watanabe and Kenshiro Suzuki. Kagoshima did get one back before the hour from Yusei Kainuma. Quite a nice sort of chest down and volleyed goal. Yeah, but I think my favourite goal of the weekend was Numazu's third, which came with virtually the last kick of the match, Stu. This is because the Kagoshima goalkeeper, Shogo Onishi, had come forward for a free kick to add an extra attacker into the box. But brilliantly, the ball was cleared forward and Kazuki Somiya is too quick for quite a few J3 defenders. He's certainly quick for most goalkeepers in a 40-yard foot race, and he was able to race clear and slot home Numazu's third. Yeah, not nice watching if you're of a Kagoshima persuasion, but I enjoyed it. And yeah, finally, Hachinohe and the Gamba Osaka under-23s drew 1-1. We'll mention this game because it had two super goals, and they came from the two players wearing squad number 30. It was Takaya Kuroishi with a super lob for Hachinohe, that's again worth checking out online if you haven't seen it. And in the second half, Dai Tsukamoto with a low drive that went in off the post. Again, always very, very visually pleasing for Gamba. So that game finished 1-1. Stu, you're a member of the Goalkeepers Union, aren't you? Tell me, analyse these games for me.
Well, I think it's getting quite busy in the Anjansu VIP lounge, because I think there's a few goalkeepers that are coming into that particular VIP section. I mean, yeah. I mean, phrase it like Watanabe's one for Fukushima. I've seen that quite a lot this year, to be honest. I've seen goalkeepers taking far too long to get rid of it. It happens. It shouldn't happen, but it's easily kind of... it's not forgivable, but it's
understandable.
Not, yeah, he's trying to pick out a pass or whatever and taking his time to figure out the best way to get rid of the ball. Oka's one for Toyama, he's just completely... I don't know where he thinks he is. When I was a goalkeeper, not to sound too old and fuddy-duddy, when I was a goalkeeper, I was taught to make lines on the edge of my penalty area so that I could see where I was on the pitch. So I could see how far left I was or how far right I was or how close to the center I was. Oka just... I don't know where he thought he was going. It's like someone was... like controlling him with a joypad or a controller, just like running out and suddenly realized, oh, hang on a second, Ismaila's a little bit quicker than me. So
yeah,
now what am I going to do?
If you watch the replay, there's kind of a moment in his body language as he's coming forward. He kind of realizes, ah, I am in the wrong place. But yes. He doesn't connect it to where the right place is. He only knows he's in the wrong place.
Yeah.
And by the time he's worked out he has to backpedal, it's all gone wrong.
He's got it completely wrong there. And yeah, just to round off the comedy, it was an own goal in the last minute that they lost to. So, you know, get your laughs while you can at Toyama. I think Kazuki Somaya's goal was, I think it was just pure goalkeeping torture, because Onishi goes up thinking he might be the hero, but he has that long, I wouldn't call it a run, I'd call it a quick jog, because he knows he's not getting that ball, but he can't give up, because if he stops running, people say he doesn't care, but he carries on running in the forlorn hope that Somaya's, I don't know what he thinks Somaya's going to do, fall over or hoof the ball out of play or whatever. But it's a pretty sad thing to watch. I'm pretty sure if someone put that to the Titanic soundtrack or some kind of dispiriting music, I think that might go viral. It wasn't very nice. And two goals that were kind of out of keeping with J3. Up in Hachinohe, two really good goals. I think you described them well there. So, nice to finish on a positive note, I would say.
Something I've noticed just before we do end is I think players sometimes need to pay a bit more attention to who specifically they're up against in like a kind of one-on-one or, you know, a foot race. Like, Ismaila is well known, you know, this season. We know he's tall, he's long, he's rangy, strike, he's quick. He's not some unknown, you know. I think when you're playing against the Gamba and under 23s or so, to be fair, there might be one or two players that appear that you've never seen before, never heard of, even if you're playing against them, to be fair.
Yeah.
You know, you could be forgiven for being surprised by like, wow, this guy's really quick or this guy's really strong. But in the case of Ismaila and even Kazuki Somaya, you know, he's not a new kid on the block. You kind of know what you're dealing with, or you should know what you're dealing with. That's why I think that's my frustration. Is if a 17-year-old wonder kid does that to you, that's one thing. But if it's players who you sort of surely you must have known what you were getting into, kind of thing. Anyway, I guess we should give the players a bit of a break. They're probably mentally tired, just as we are at this point after sort of wall to wall, you know, endless football. So with that in mind, Stu, we should probably move on and talk about the midweek round that's coming up this Wednesday.
Sure.
No rest for the wicked.
Yeah.
Or indeed anybody at this point. So it's round 28. There's a full slate of games. There are some matches kicking off at 1 p.m. even though it's a regular Common or Garden weekday. I think the pick of those games has got to be Iwate hosting Sagamihara, right? 13th place hosting 4th place in the table. We mentioned Sagamihara were not particularly impressive on Friday night. It'll be interesting to see what they produce at Iwate, because I don't think Iwate are an easy team to play against, to be honest. I know they're not that high up the table, but they can cause you a lot of problems. And the rest of the kind of games to keep an eye on are all at 7 p.m. I think they're evening games, aren't they? Nagano against Tottori, probably the big one, you know, second place hosting fifth. But we also have Kumamoto against Imabari, right, third against sixth, which is a big game, I think. Gifu, still in the promotion picture, you know, if we look at the table. I know you might beg to differ, but they're up there in sixth, aren't they? They're hosting Seretso Osaka under 23s, the bottom side in the table. And as we mentioned earlier, the leaders Akita, the runaway leaders, the champions elect, they're away at Gamba Osaka's under 23 side, where in 14th place in the table, I should say. And again, a win for Akita guarantees them a top two finish. It doesn't quite clinch the title, I don't think, unless Kumamoto lose at home to Imabari, right? If Kumamoto lose and Akita win, then Akita get the title. But if it's just an Akita win, then it's just promotion with six games to go, and they'll have to wait until Sunday to get the title. So, yeah, which game will you be or which games will you be keeping a close eye on, Stu, on Wednesday?
Well, I might be going to the Gifu game against my better senses, but I think the Nagano Tottori game is the one with the biggest kind of ramifications attached to it. I think, I mean, if you want goals, I think Fukushima versus YSCC is going to be the game for you, but my guess is that there'll be about 200 people there, because
is it at Toho Stadium, the ploughed field?
Possibly. The potholed, the pitch with potholes. I mean, like I said, I think most eyes will be on Gamba versus Blaublitz Akita, to see them kind of clinch promotion or whatever. I can't be asked to work out if they are going to win the league or not on Wednesday. There's too much maths involved. But it's going to happen. So whether it happens on Wednesday or next Saturday or Sunday or whatever, I mean, it's all good. It's going to happen. But yeah, the Nagano versus Tottori and Kumamoto versus Imabari are probably the games to really keep an eye on.
Do you think there's any chance of Imabari winning at Kumamoto? Because I think they might. I think they might get a 2-1 win. Just looking at the way these two sides have been playing recently, I think Kumamoto mentally, the body language wasn't that good in the game against Fujieda. I don't think they've downed tools deliberately or anything like that, but I think their mojo's definitely waning. If mojo does indeed wane, and that's a terrible sentence, but Imabari have got their tails up, and I wouldn't be surprised if Imabari got a win there. I don't know.
It wouldn't surprise me either. Like set piece delivery, Imabari are really good. They've got a couple of options that are available to them, and they could quite easily go there and win.
Well, we're right sometimes and wrong other times. So if Kumamoto pumped them 5-0, we just won't mention it.
Yeah, you know, I'll edit it out. It'll be all good.
Pleasing. All right. Okay. Thanks for your time, Stu. I know we're both busy at work this week. So it's good to get a chance to chat to you and get your thoughts. Hopefully, everybody enjoyed the show. I think we covered all the things that we needed to cover from the weekend games. We're gonna wrap it up here for now. Hopefully, we'll be back together with some J2 analysis as well from the weekend's games. There's quite a lot to talk about from J2 as well this week. And we'll do something to cover the midweek round in J3 as well, but I don't think we've discussed what. So let's not do that on air in case in case it leads to a blazing row or something. So all right, thanks again, Stu. Appreciate it. And hope everybody enjoyed the show. Thanks for listening and downloading. If you're a patron and you back us with cold hard currency, we obviously really appreciate and value that as well. So thanks, and everybody enjoy the football this midweek, and we'll talk to you again soon, but bye for now.